Welcome, everybody, to day three of deep diving into grace. I really pray you're starting to get it. It is one of those subjects that is the most important subject to understand as a Christian, the hardest subject to really grasp fully. And that's why we're going to deep dive and keep deep diving until the rays of light begin to shine forth. And we need to remember that the reason that we have this massive war in our lives is because we were born under the performance paradigm, right? It was do good, get good. It was all about works. It was all about striving to get recognition. It was all about your value came from your output or from your grades. The whole of our lives have been built around performance because that's what happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned. Sin not only separated them from God, it separated them from God's supply. So they moved from supply where everything was supplied for them in the Garden of Eden. They didn't have to do anything except tend the garden and receive the fruit, all there, beautiful, lush, incredible. And now, because of sin and because of the curse, everything moves to scarcity. Every day is difficult. Every moment's a challenge. And many commentators believe that in those days, even the sowing and reaping concept that we feel today wasn't even really in operation. So for every hour of work, maybe you got 5 minutes of results. For every 10 hours, it was that kind of survival and power. And it made them distracted from a relationship with God. Performance always keeps you away from God. And so the Bible records that 200 years after Adam and Eve's fall, we see something remarkable. And in Genesis 4, it says, at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord again. So for 200 years, they've been so shocked and living in this survival mentality, it takes them 200 years before people can think about God again. I think a lot of people are so stressed, so worked to the bone, so thinking about their performance that they can't find time for God. And that's a real trouble when you're not living by grace, when you're living by the sin profile that humanity lives under, living under the performance trap. But there's some hope there in Genesis, because if you move to Genesis 5, there was a man called Lamech. And Lamech had lived 182 years, and then he had a son. And he said, I'm going to name my son Noah. He says, this is why. He's going to bring comfort to us in our labor, and he's going to give us peace and rest from our painful toil of our hands caused by the ground God has cursed. The name Noah means rest. Isn't that incredible? Because he's a type and shadow of Jesus that was to come, that would be our rest and give us that rest. So here's Lamech's father. What I love about it is he's prophesying into his future. He's saying, life might be tough now, but I'm speaking a new life into me. I'm speaking new life into the next generation. I'm speaking new life into our family. Every day that he called Noah's name, he was proclaiming rest over his household. I don't know what you need to do to proclaim the finished work of Jesus on the cross that brought rest in our conscience and brought rest that helps us find rest for our souls. But you need to declare some things. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Think about Lamech, that ability to see past the toil and see into the future. Think about it. As Noah's building the ark, his name is rest. Maybe that's the thing that kept him going for so long, right? To finish the task. He felt like he was a carrier of rest. It was a prophetic name into his life. And then this would be fulfilled in Jesus when he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you will find rest for your soul. You'll move from scarcity into supply. You know, John writes, he says, I wish that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So you need to get your soul prospering, and then the rest begins to follow. Right? Two systems, performance versus grace, and they've been at war. So Jesus didn't just come to save you from your sins. He came to upend your life of performance. He doesn't want you to live by performance because you now live by supply. You're not living out of scarcity. Where will I get my next breakthrough? Where will I get that next thing met? You're living out of grace, out of supply, out of favor. Grace is favor. You are favored by God. His supply is there for you. And we're going to look at a scripture this morning, today, that I think is going to help you understand what this means, right? You know, self-help tells you to believe in yourself. Come on, you've got this. Think positive. Put up your vision board. Grace says, apart from me, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a humble dependence that releases divine energy and power. Paul talks about the grace in him allows him to work harder than everybody else. It's working hard, but not with his energy. It's with Christ's energy. It's with a supernatural element of the super on your natural. God wants to do that. So you're working hard, yes, but you're also praying, listening, trusting, and expecting God to show up in ways you can't manufacture. The miracles of life are meant to be every day. You're meant to experience the supply of God every day, the joy of the Lord that becomes your strength, the peace of God, the rest that stops your mind staying racing in the middle of the night, allows you to sleep. So he gives sleep to those that he loves, right? Then it goes on into Romans 5:17. This is a central verse. And so let's talk about this. It says, for if by the sin of one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man. In other words, death became the controller of life because of Adam's sin through all of us. Then he goes on and says this. Paul writing says, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace. So you have to receive it. You can't earn it. You have to receive it. You have to learn how to receive. If someone throws you a baseball and you've got a baseball mitt on, receiving isn't to stand there with your hands down at your sides. Receiving is to point your baseball mitt at the ball and you receive it actively, right? You're in receiving mode. You put yourself in the place to receive. You see, it's really powerful. It goes on and says, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness? Notice these two back to back. In fact, you could kind of reword that verse and say, how much more will those who receive the gift of righteousness and the abundant provision of grace reign in life through Jesus? You got to receive two things. As you're on this journey of applying grace to your life and not just being an ethereal concept. Pastor Ashley, tell me how to receive it. I want to know how to receive it. We're going to talk about this over these days. First, you have to receive the gift of righteousness. And then you receive the abundant provision of grace. Let me explain what that means. Righteousness is your legal standing before God. It's not something you've earned. It was something that was given. The moment you believed in Jesus' work to transform you, God declared you righteous. Not partially righteous, not becoming righteous, fully righteous right now. And what this does, this legal standing, if I use the illustration of a restaurant, let's say a 5-star restaurant, Michelin star restaurant, and you know the owner. And the owner, in his kindness towards you, has gifted you a seat that's got your name engraved on it in the restaurant. And so it has your name written on that chair at a particular table. It's right where the owner sits. And because he's done that, you have the legal right to walk into that restaurant and take your seat at the table. That's righteousness. You were made eligible to the restaurant because the owner gave that gift to you. Not something you earned, something he saw in you that made him love you so much. He said, I'm going to give this to you. Please come in and sit at my table. You've been invited by the owner himself, God Almighty, and Jesus paid for the seat with his blood. So you're there out of a legal right because Jesus paid for it. He paid for your seat. This position is fixed. It doesn't fluctuate based on your performance. You don't lose your seat for not turning up on time or when you mess up or when you drop a potato on the floor. You don't get a better seat when you have a good day. You don't get a worse seat if you have a bad day. Your righteousness is based entirely on Christ's finished work, not your ongoing effort. This is your seat, John. This is your seat, Mary. I have placed the seat with your name on it. And so it says this, that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We could take our seat. And then provision is what you get in the restaurant, right? Restaurant you go to eat. It's where the food comes. And if you're a Michelin star restaurant, you're going to have the best of everything coming to your table. But you had to get your seat first, and then the provision, the owner says, everything on the menu is yours. It's free. It's for you. Order up what you like. You have a right. And you look back and you're not sure. Then you look and you see your name. That name on the chair that says that you had a right to be there. The kitchen's full. The staff come running. God's resources are unlimited. His favor is for you. He's saying, come on, this is the supply I have for you. Stop living in scarcity out in the street. Come and take your position at the table and then get the provision you need. But you can't get the provision you need until you're confident about your seat at the table. When you know you've got a seat at the table, you know you can ask for food. When you know that your friend got you that seat, you know you can ask for what's in the kitchen, right? But if you're unsure whether you're actually allowed to sit at the table, you're not going to ask for food. You know, you ever gone to stay at someone's house? They say, eat everything in the fridge. You know you never do. You just never go in there and you know, hog everything in there because it's someone else's house. You feel a permission but not a right. Well, God says, listen, you don't just have permission, you have a right. Jesus paid for your seat. He gave you the ticket. Come in and grab your seat and receive all the provision that you need. And this is why we've got to be focused on his righteousness. His righteousness gives us the seat. This is the game changer. Most Christians are so focused on trying to be righteous, perform better, sin less, do more for God, that they never actually enjoy the seat and the provision. They're stuck at the table feeling unworthy. This is what happened with Mephibosheth, who felt unworthy, but David brings him in to sit at the table. You have a seat here. Your family belongs here. And the reason we feel unworthy is because we believe we need to earn the right. You can't be happy. You can't be free. You can't be blessed. You have to work hard. You have to struggle and keep on struggling. But that's not God's desire for your life. Scarcity is the performance mentality. Supply is the holiness, the righteousness mentality. It's so cool. Philippians 3 says, Paul wanted to be found in him, not having a righteousness of his own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from the God, from God on the basis of faith. Right? He wants us to understand. That's why Jesus said, in his great treatise on the mount where he started to preach, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your righteousness, not how good you are, his righteousness. It's his righteousness, not yours, that gets a seat at the table. If you come in with your righteousness, you won't even be recognized. But if you come in with his righteousness, you have a right to the table. And that's when you shift, and when you shift your focus from your righteousness, which is always lacking, to Holy Spirit righteousness, Jesus righteousness, which is perfect and freely given to you, everything changes. You become bold, confident, expectant. You start receiving provision because you know you have the right to it. So you can ask for stuff. You need to start thinking, okay, God, I don't need to pray more to get God's help. I am loved by God. You love me. Thank you for your help. I don't need to be more holy before I can ask for favor. I am holy. I am holy. I'm righteous because of Jesus. If I mess up, God won't bless my work. No, that's a losing position. Grace says you pray from a place of righteousness, not to get it. You ask boldly because you're holy in Christ, not to become holy. When you mess up, your position doesn't change, so the provision is still flowing. The more convinced, I just want you to get this, the more convinced you are of your righteousness in Christ, the more freely you'll receive his provision. If you believe you're righteous, you'll pray with confidence. Father, I need wisdom for this meeting. I'm your child. I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places. I have access to your throne. Give me the words to say. If you believe you're righteous, you'll expect favor. I'm walking in divine favor today. Give me that job. Lord, lead me into that place of favor. Doors are opening for me because I'm in Christ. And if you believe you're righteous, you'll rest under pressure. My worth isn't on the line here. I'm already proved by God. So I'm going to do my best, put the rest in his hand, and trust him with the results. And you will be amazed at the super abundant, supernatural results in your natural work, right? Because you're accessing wisdom, knowledge, power, the ability to sustain over time, to run the marathon, the long race, because you're secure and you receive. Romans 5 says, those who receive, not achieve, not earn, not qualify, receive an abundance of grace, and the great gift of righteousness shall reign in life. It's not God's plan for you to be at the bottom. It's not God's plan for you to be begging. It's not God's plan for you to not reign. It's his plan for you to reign. Kings reign. People of nobility reign. Reigning in life means to be at the top, not the bottom. We are not the, we're the head, not the tail. It means receiving, not striving. But you can only receive provision when you believe your position is secure. And that's why we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, because we're being transformed by beholding his glory. As we behold his glory, we become more righteous conscious. We become more righteous conscious, which breeds confidence. You start to naturally reach for the provision. So that's what I want you to do today, to begin to declare over your life that you have the favor of God. I am righteous because of Jesus. Because I'm righteous, I'm under God's grace and favor. Because I'm under his favor, means all his resources are pouring towards me because he finds me attractive. Because I'm his child, he wants to help me in whatever I'm doing. He wants to help me with my children, help me with my husband, help me with my wife, help me with my relatives, help me with my house, help me with my finances, help me with my job. And suddenly you'll start seeing the flow of the river of abundance coming into your life. And that's why it says, anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. In other words, we rest from work as a means of earning God's favor, and instead work as a response to favor already given. This is the essence of grace-powered work. Like Noah, whose name declared rest, we can experience supernatural rest even while engaged in challenging work. So come on, everybody. This is your day. You are filled with righteousness and filled with favor. And I just want to say, you're going to have a fantastic day. Don't forget to share Jesus with someone today. Bring someone on Sunday as we continue this series on the grace and favor revolution. See you tomorrow.